Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.com. And now, the Central Message.
Hey, church. Just wanted to come together again this morning. It is the end of July. If you can imagine, we are just flying through this year, 2020. But I have to be honest with you, I've heard so many people say that 2020 has just been horrible. They're over 2020. You know, they don't even want to redo on 2020. They just want to act as if this year hasn't even happened, want to get past all this COVID stuff and, you know, start living life again. I get it. I do. I'm right there with you. I don't want all this mandatory mask stuff that's going to take place on Monday. You know, it's going to be an interesting couple weeks to come. I think no matter what we do, we're going to be in this situation. And it is just part of a fact of life now. And I think it's just where we are. So just slow down, enjoy the day, enjoy the roll of 2020, and here before you know it, we'll be into August, and school's going to start back, yay! So now, not only is school starting back, but now you have to make a decision. Am I going to send my child to school? Am I going to continue this online learning, this homeschooling thing? What are you going to do? And I think pre-COVID, I think most of us would say, hey, we're running pretty well. We're doing pretty good. You know, life seems to be great. And then all of a sudden, this one thing comes up and, oh man, life's horrible. We're struggling again. You know, we're right back to falling down. You know, I used to run track and cross country. You can't tell it by looking at me now, but I used to be pretty good at running. And I enjoyed it. I don't know why. It was something that gave me comfort and courage. And I felt stronger. I felt great when I would run. There was two instances of me running that really kind of bothered me. And the first one was I was running a cross-country race, man, and I was doing great. I was out front with the pack. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I get really winded and I'm struggling to run and struggling to finish the race. And I don't know what happened. I just may not have been feeling well. I'm not sure what was going on. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, woof, this girl passes me. Okay, you know what it's like in high school. You've been there, done that. And to have a girl beat you in a race like that, you are going to get razzed by all of your friends, by all of your teammates. They are going to make fun of you. There's just no way around it. And so I thought, man, I can't let this happen. I got to get going. And the harder I would run, the faster I'd go, the faster she would go. She beat me. There was nothing I could do about it. She was great at running. I'll give her props on that. I don't even know who it was. I don't know where in the world she came from. But she beat me in that race. And I that is stuck in my mind because my buddies never let me forget it, number one. Number two, because she was so good at it. And she was running well. And here I am trying to keep up and maintain. And I was not running well. The other time I was running the mile and track, and I was coming around on that third lap, and man, I could feel I was doing great, and I get around to the third curve on that third lap, and you got 1 1/4 left, and you're just giving it all at that point. You know, you're trying to do your best, and somehow, coming out of that third turn, I'm not really sure what happened, but my feet got tangled up somehow, I don't know, and I fall down. Okay, when you fall down when you're just walking, that hurts. But when you fall down when you're running and you're on an old cinder track, you come up with scars. I mean, I had cinder pieces in my hands. I had in my knees. I had it all over me. I think my face hit the ground, and I was like, oh, man. And so then I had to finish the race. I had to get up and act as if I was running well enough to make it through the race. So I think that's how we are in life sometimes. We sometimes are running a great race, running well, and then all of a sudden something happens. We either fall down or we see someone else doing better than us, and we say, we got to get going. And we fall down again, and we fail. You know, running well is part of the theme of Galatians chapter 5. Now, I have to be honest, and I called Dustin a little bit ago, and I told him, I said, man, this is going to be tough for me because this message is a difficult one because it has to do with me revealing some of my own personal thoughts and my own failures. And I have to be honest, I'm not very good at that. You can ask Jan, she'll tell you, I'm not very good at reflection or introspection, I guess is the way to put it. But all through this chapter 5, Paul has been talking and about running well. And he's talking about how people from outside the church are coming in and, you know, they're changing, you know, the parameters of what it means to be saved, what it means to follow Christ. And they begin to struggle. They begin to fall. They begin to fail. And they look at this and they say, you know, what am I doing wrong? And Paul, from the get-go in chapter 1 or chapter 5, he's re-highlighting chapter 4 that it's simply about bondage, that we're being held back by something. We're falling down. And he says the only way out of that is to recognize that freedom that we have in Christ. And I guess if you were to translate that, it simply translates to Christ coming in and saving us. Christ is the liberator, if you will, as one commentary put it. The challenge for Paul to the church is simply stay free. Stay free of all of that. Do not go back to that bondage and that slavery or that yoke of that burden that we once had in life. In verse 2, he clearly points out that in this section, they're wanting to add circumcision back into the salvation process, that to be a child of God, to be saved, according to the church at Galatia, you had to be circumcised. And Paul says that is just adding works to your faith, and that's not what Christ is about. He says, the truth is, adding works to faith, according to Paul then, is that this idea of works being part of your faith, then Christ is of no value to you at all. That there's nothing you can do without that works being part of it. And so Paul is simply saying, hey, look, you know, freedom is not about all of the stuff. Freedom is about the one thing. Freedom is about Jesus Christ and allowing Him to rule in your life, not about all of this other stuff. And then in verse 4, Paul uses some very vivid language here, and I am just shocked by that, I guess. But Paul even uses the word severed when he's talking about circumcision. And he says, if you're going to do this, you might as well be severed from Christ. If you are justified by the law or the things that we put in place, then you're falling away from grace. He's saying, if you're more about all of this stuff and less about Jesus Christ, then you're falling away from that grace and that mercy that comes to you freely. He says you're sacrificing that freedom for this stuff. And that's the problem, I think, in our culture. Now, in verse 6, Paul says neither circumcision or uncircumcision count for anything, that it's not about that issue. He's saying what counts is only faith working through love. Only that faith that we have and the way that faith works through love. So that's just an intro into what we're going to talk about today. And so primarily I'm going to stick in verses 7 through 12. So if you have Galatians 5 open, look and focus in on verses 7 through 12, because this is the primary text. Now I know later on in the text he outlines a lot of different things, and we might get there next week, but we're going to stay in 7 through 12. And really focus in on this idea of, are we running well? Are we running well? You know, Paul tells the Galatian church that, hey, you were running well. What happened? What changed in your life? You were doing so great. Why did things change? And I think that question, or that statement from Paul, rather, I turned it into a question. I put a question mark behind it. You were running well? Running well? I think there's a question there that we have to ask ourselves. Have we as a church been running well? Have we as a church been running well? Have we as a family been running well? And I think you can even go further. Have we as a society, have we as a society been running well? And I think with what you're seeing today, with the riots, the protests, peaceful or not, you're seeing all of these things. And yesterday was a difficult day for me. I was so looking forward to the return of Major League Baseball. And, you know, if you're following me on Facebook, you know, I posted goodbye MLB because of some of the choices they've made to politicize things that I feel shouldn't be there. And got into some arguments, and I guess is the right way to put it. And I'd been doing so well by not posting controversial stuff on Facebook, and you know, I slipped up and posted that, and so I'm sorry for posting that. Forgive me. It even got into my kids arguing with me a little bit on it, and you know, saying that they have the right to do that, and I'm saying, well, that's not the right place for that and the right time. Yes, we have issues in our culture, but I'm so proud of my children and the way that they're willing to stand up and stand in the gap for freedom and primarily for Jesus Christ, and standing up for the one who Christ would go looking for. And I understand that. I'm not questioning that at all. My questioning comes in, are we running well? Are we doing all that we can possibly do for our society? Are we doing all that we can possibly do for our families, for our homes, and for our church? Are we truly loving that one person? And I think we do. I'm just not sure we show it in the right way, in the right form, in the right manner. Now, I draw a line on truth. Truth matters to me. And I think we live in a world of tons of false information and statistics that don't bear fruit, and all kinds of issues that are taking place in our world. And that's the problem. We're banking our freedom and our faith on things that we perceive to be true only because someone told us that they were true. And I think that's the problem. So, again, my question is pretty simple. Have we as a church been running well? And I want to say yes and no. I think as a church that we could be doing a lot more for our community. We could be doing a lot more in our community to look and represent our community. I think there's a lot of growth that could take place at Central Park, and I think that once we get back together, we're going to truly have to sit down and address who we are as a body of Christ and what freedom means to us. and how we can take that and share that with the rest of the world, with our community, and still maintain that true sense of who we are. I think as a family, you have to sit down and weigh this out. Are we running well? And, you know, like I said, I'm so proud of my children. I'm so proud of my grandchildren and my wife and the way that they love one another, the way that they love on people that they may not even know. And the way that they share that is truly amazing to me. And, you know, the biases that we have in our limited experience, if you will, is real. And so then that begs the question, have we as a society been running well? And the answer is no. The answer is truly no. As a society, you know, I am ashamed of who we have become. I am ashamed that it has taken people rioting in the streets, looting and pillaging and taking innocent lives just to protest something that sickens me. It does. And it should sicken you as well. And if you're not sickened by the loss of innocent life, then what are we truly doing? And who are you? And who have you become? If you're not sickened by what you're seeing on TV and the way that I believe even media is misleading us in so many different arenas, if you are not truly sickened by what you're seeing, then you need to question, are you running well? And, you know, I don't know how else to put that. So the only way for us to get out of this and to move forward is to ask the one final question. Have I, as a Christian, been running well? Have I been living my life well? And I have to be honest with you. Here lately, no, I haven't. I live in these separate, compartmentalized worlds only because it's almost like I'm forced to. You know, my day-to-day job, I have to do things and be something that is very different. And it's a difficult job, and I get it. But I don't go out and do my job and do the things that I do based on what the media is telling you or what society is telling you. I do that job based on one thing, loving people. I started out doing this as a way to minister to people and a way to be part of a group that is full of camaraderie and is truly concerned for the well-being of others. Through this season of what we're living in right now, and I'm not just talking about COVID, that has changed. We still have that camaraderie. We still have that friendship. We still have that faith together. But it's changed because now we're more introspective. We're more of backing into this corner of protecting one another and watching out for one another. And before it was very different. And so I'm seeing this subtle shift in dynamic in law enforcement, and I'm not sure how this is going to pan out. You know, my job in this situation is, you know, still the same. I'm protecting. That's my number one goal. You know, even in the military, when I was in the military, I was willing to lay down my life for the one person. I was willing to give up everything and sacrifice everything so that one person could live free, so that one person could do and whatever they wanted to do in this life, that they had the opportunity to do that. That's why I chose that line. And that element still exists within me, but yet I have to ask that question, and it's bothering me for some reason. I can't figure out why that question is confusing me. Until I read the end of Paul's section here. You see, freedom is a very strong word to me. It's not just something that means you're free, I'm free. Freedom is a very strong word to me, and it means something because I recognize the lives that have been lost in honor of the freedoms that I have. That's the difference. I don't think that the protesters, I don't think that the issues, I don't think the people who were controlling the narrative in these stories truly understand freedom. I think they fail to see what freedom truly means. You see, for me, here's the kicker, and Paul highlights this somewhat. He says, you cannot use freedom for your own personal gain. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's about what others can obtain by you expressing your freedom. I get that. I love the way that Paul controls that narrative. The way Paul uses that word freedom, it's not about us. It's not about our own personal gain. It's not about how much money we can obtain. It's not about how much political savvy we have. It's not about all of the banners and all of that junk that we're seeing on TV today. It's not about your own personal gain. Freedom is something far greater. And maybe that's where I'm struggling with this. Because like I said, in the military, I was willing to lay down my life to die for the freedom of others. Their freedom to protest. Their freedom to burn a flag. Their freedom to do all of this stuff that I didn't agree with. But I was willing to lay down my life for that. I think that's what Paul is alluding to here. That freedom is not about your own personal gain. It's not. You see, it's about something far greater. In Galatians 5, at the end of this, in verse 15, well, we'll go back. We'll go to the end of 13, because 13 really is the strongest. He says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, your own personal gain, but this is the key. Through love, serve one another. Can you tell me that the actions that you see on TV and the actions that you portray in your day-to-day life truly are about serving one another? Because I think once our world sees that, and once we begin to live that out, things are going to be changed. Because I don't believe that any amount of policy, I don't believe that any amount of protest, I don't believe that any amount of outrage is going to change anything in our sick, sad, depraved world. We live in a world that has fallen. We live in a world of sin, and it will always exist. No matter what you do, no matter how much you say, no matter how much you protest, there will always be sin and depravity and immorality in our culture. The one thing that will change that is the one person serving one another and sharing that freedom that we have obtained through Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and resurrection. You see, when you have life everlasting, when you have that freedom that Jesus provides, you don't need to go back to that bondage. You don't need to go back to that yoke, that sin that entangles you and ensnares you and entraps you. You don't need it, as Paul alludes to. What you need is to ask yourself the question, am I running well? If not, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Where did I fail? Because Paul says, and at the end of 14, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the end of that verse is the warning in verse 15. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Isn't that what we're doing today in our world? That's exactly what we're doing. We are biting and devouring one another in this idea that you're infringing on me and these are my rights and this is not right and this is right and this is wrong and all of this mess. And I'm not saying that right and wrong doesn't exist. Right and wrong will always exist. But what I'm saying is, what is more important? Because as Christians, here's the reality. Most of us people understand the difference between good and bad. We don't normally have an issue seeing that difference between good and bad. What we normally have the issue seeing is between good and what's best for us. What's good and what's best. So what's best for you today? What is it that is the best that you can do with your life today? You see, for me, I happen to believe that the best thing I can do is accept that freedom that I have in Christ, admit that I'm a sinner, admit that I need help every day, and that I fail and fall short over and over and over again. And to recognize that sometimes in life, I'm not running the best race I can possibly run. That I'm not running very well. I know there's problems in our world, but I'm tired of biting and devouring one another because we're getting consumed by one another. That's a warning from the Church of Galatia that just fits for our day. Are you tired of devouring one another for the sake of your own personal agenda? Are you tired of devouring one another? Because if you are, the obvious answer is Jesus Christ. Are you tired of that one thing in your life that just devours you over and over and over again, and you can't get out of it? You can't find a way to control it. You can't get past it. The reason why you can't is because you can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus Christ to do that for you. And the only way to do that is to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Are you tired of your family struggling? Are you tired of this thing that we see in our world? And if that's the case, then the simple answer is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Freedom. Such a strong, strong word that people take for granted. So I want to leave you with this today. Will you just simply choose to love one another, to serve one another, to accept that freedom and evaluate your life and ask that question, am I running well today? Am I running well? How have you been running as a Christian? Perhaps today you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to simply say, you know what, Jesus, I haven't been running the best life. I've had all this sin and I just can't get rid of it. Maybe it's that time for you to just let go and allow God to work within you. Will you accept Him today? Maybe you're like me and you somehow need to come to terms that you haven't been doing everything you could possibly do. You haven't been living and running that best race. You haven't been giving it your all to the faith. Maybe it's that time for you to simply say, you know what, God, I just want to rededicate my life, and I give it back to you. I give all of that control to you, and I accept that freedom that only you can give. Maybe you need to be baptized into His kingdom. Maybe it's about a decision for prayer or whatever your need is. Won't you just let us know? Because we'll be praying for you. We want to rejoice with you. We want to celebrate with you. We want to be part of the freedom that God is giving you to serve one another and care for each other. Do you truly love people today? Are you more concerned about the stuff? Are you running well today? I hope you truly are. May God bless you, and we will see you soon.